Good evening. You're watching Omenad's Primetime, the only bulletin where we pretend to trust the media just long enough to investigate it. Tonight, we begin with a developing story. The slow, dignified collapse of the credibility industrial complex, also known as mainstream media. Once revered as the fourth estate, now mostly the real estate of billionaires, politicians, and that one cousin who always had a good radio voice and bad political opinions. In Kenya, media houses continue to dazzle with high-def graphics, flawless pronunciation, and breaking news alerts that arrive just slightly after your grandmother's WhatsApp forwards. But behind the gloss, the suits, and the fake concern, a different picture emerges, one of gatekeeping, of carefully curated narratives of who gets the mic and who gets muted. From editorial boards that lunch with governors, to headlines that dance delicately around the names of donors, dynasties, and dubious contracts, the Kenyan public has learned to read between the lines, or stop reading altogether. Because when the truth is inconvenient, the cameras tend to stop rolling, and when the people start asking questions, suddenly the live feed is experiencing technical difficulties. Coming up after the break, how you're being lied to, one headline at a time. Welcome to the episode. I'm your host, Lorizi F. And the F is for fading. Hey.
O-M-E-N-E-S.
Hey. You're listening to the podcast. Omenad Podcast. This is the Omenad, broadcasting from the ruins of credibility. If you're hearing this, congratulations, you survived broadcast wars. Today's transmission, legacy media is not your friend. You might remember them as the shining towers of neutrality, the anchors in expensive suits who could pronounce infrastructure and agricultural subsidy without blinking. They had studios, they had news vans, they had 360-degree coverage during election season. But you know what they never had? You're back. Legacy media never belonged to the people. It was never built for you. It was built for power, polished, paid for propaganda, wrapped in a breaking news banner. Let's take you back, not too far, just a few protests ago, when bodies were dropping in the streets and Kenyans were live streaming brutality on TikTok. What was your favorite news station airing? A panel on what? Are young people too angry? Or worse, police urge restraint as tensions rise. You see what they do there? The violence is never the state's fault. It's always tensions. It's always unrest. As if tear gas just showed up like a thunderstorm. And when the brutality ends, so does the coverage. Meanwhile, international journalists, the ones flying in with jet lag and press passes, are breaking stories that local media had front row seats to and somehow missed. And you think that's by accident? Let's talk ownership. These are not scrappy, independent truth seekers risking it all for democracy. These are billion shilling empires bought and sold by the same political elites they are meant to hold accountable. Media houses in Kenya aren't just cozy with power. They're in bed with it, spooning. They call them editorial policies. It's a protection racket with a camera crew. Want a story on corruption? Better hope the corrupt guy didn't buy ad space this week. Need to expose land grabbing? Tough luck if the land grabber owns part of the station. It's not journalism. It's corporate-sponsored amnesia. They tell you what's important, then gaslight you for caring about the wrong things. Kenyans protesting for their lives? That's a security situation. But a presidential prayer breakfast, that's breaking news. They'll send 6 reporters to cover a state house dinner, but one intern with a phone to a police station where somebody just died in custody. Why? Because one story gets you invited to the press briefing, the other one gets your press pass revoked. And don't get it twisted, it's not just Kenya. Across the region, legacy media is still clinging to colonial broadcast models. Slow, rigid, hierarchical. The bosses went to journalism school in 1983 and haven't updated their thinking since. Meanwhile, the world is burning in 4K on your phone. Citizen journalists with Wi-Fi and courage are risking everything to post the truth. while the big dogs are waiting for an official statement. Ushaiona moto alafu ngoje mwenye aliasha moto akuje kusema kama ni moto. That's how legacy media works. No footage, no facts. No press release, no problem. Just don't air it. And when things get really spicy, when the truth is too loud to ignore, guess who shows up to censor the internet? The same governments that love these media houses, because the devil you know has a broadcast license. Look, we're not saying everyone with a microphone is lying to you. We're saying the ones with the cleanest microphones usually are. They're not journalists. They are PR in power suits, press passes with pensions, narrative managers with better lighting. So if you're still tuning in, hoping for the truth, switch off the TV, log out, look around, ask your neighbor. Because the revolution will not be televised, but it might be live on someone's TikTok.
Thank you for calling Uhweli Light Customer Care. For real news, press 1. For safe news, press 2. For news approved by the government here, press 3. You have pressed 2. Congratulations. You will hear nothing important until 9 p.m. after we've checked if it's safe to tell you. Have a good day.
So like I was saying, it's not just that legacy media is slow, it's that they're trapped. Because in Kenya, the government doesn't just run the government. They've got their fingers dipped in almost every business worth mentioning. And your favorite independent TV station? Yeah. The one that loves saying we hold power to account in slow motion adverts? It's owned by somebody who plays golf with the same people they're holding to account. So every headline becomes a balancing act. Do we tell the truth about that protest and risk losing our license, our advertisers, our cozy seat at the next presidential dinner? Or do we keep it safe and risk losing what's left of our credibility? And you see it in the coverage. Police beat somebody half to death. The headline says, demonstrators clash with the police. A corruption scandal breaks and somehow the accused gets more airtime than the victims. A story disappears overnight for legal reasons. Yeah, sure. Okay. It's like a toxic relationship, but with power. The media is like, babe, can I tell them what you did? And the government is like, yeah, sure. But remember who pays the rent. And here's the kicker. It's not just here. Look at Palestine. The same pattern, just on a bigger stage. Bombings become strikes, invasions become conflicts, civilians don't get killed, they just die, like it's malaria or something. That's not bad journalism. That's active sanitizing. And it makes legacy media complicit, because when you refuse to call genocide by its name, you're not neutral, you're protecting power. Meanwhile, who's telling the real story? Is it these large news organizations? No, it's not. It's families in Gaza. Live streaming with a cracked phone and a shaky eSIM signal. It's people subtitling and engaging with tweets before the algorithm inevitably buries them. It's the same way here. It's not the 9 p.m. bulletin breaking news. It's TikTok, it's Telegram, it's Twitter with video and sometimes even memes attached. And the problem for legacy media, they're moving like it's 1995. Like we're all sitting around waiting for the 9 o'clock bulletin. Meanwhile, online, the story's already been live for hours. Complete with commentary, slow motion zooms, and multiple angles. And newspapers, listen, I love them, I do. But the media houses running them, they are treating print like a museum piece. If you're just repackaging government press releases in black and white, then of course people are leaving you for a Telegram channel run by a 22-year-old with a burner sim. We're not waiting anymore. We don't need a suit behind a desk to tell us what happened. We need somebody on the ground. Even if their mic is just the earphones that came with their Infinix. And that's the thing. Unless you're already a media darling, already polished, already friends with the right people, you're not getting that airtime. But online, you can be as unpolished as you want and still get a million views if your story hits. No one's sitting around for the official bulletin when they can get context and a meme from Twitter in real time. Legacy media's problem is that they're still guarding the gates, but the fence fell down ages ago. So yeah, their era is coming to an end, and the only ones who are still clapping are the people who are cashing those checks.
Listen, I don't have much time. If you hear this, they haven't jammed my line yet. Legacy Media is not just biased, it's a portal. I'm talking. And see, all of them. Frequency 90, 80. I'm telling you, that's not a coincidence. That's a ritual code. Every time you watch the 7 o'clock news, they reset your memory. You think you're just watching the news? But that's not the news. That's neural conditioning. That's why every day you forget who raised Unga prices. It's spiritual warfare through televised repetition. Do you think it's normal that every time there's a protest, all stations go quiet at once? No breaking news? No footage? My guy, they're not journalists. They're handlers. That blackout isn't technical. It's intentional. They're uploading the new narrative while you buffer. And now they're pushing all of us online just so that they can say fake news and ban what they can't control. But me? May I have receipts? I buried them in a flash disk behind Mark and at boot. I'm telling you, tell them that. Tell them. Sent you. Tell them. Sent you. Tell them I sent you.
This call is no longer being recorded.
Omenad's podcast.
In the beginning, there was the news. It was read with authority by men in suits and women in helmets of hairspray. And the people tuned in at 7, like clockwork, because there was no alternative. But that was then. Now, no one's sitting around waiting for a bulletin. Not when you can get context, video footage, and a meme caption from Twitter in real time. Traditional media is slow, glacial, a relic of an era where gatekeeping was a full-time job, and editors thought blogs were witchcraft. And here's the funny part. They still cling to their old analog business models like they are sacred scrolls. You know the drill. Pitch meeting, layers of bureaucracy, approval from someone's uncle at State House, then maybe your story makes it to print. But by the time it does, the internet already broke the story, explained the background, debunked the lies, turned it into a skit, and moved on. And newspapers? Written media is important. It has depth, weight, and a history. But what do media houses do with the legacy? They slap clickbait headlines on hollow op-eds and charge 70 bob for recycled press releases. No investigation, no backbone, just free PR with newsprint. Meanwhile on YouTube, a guy with a cracked phone and the earphones that it came with is breaking down corruption scandals in Sheng and English. And you believe him. Because at least he doesn't look like he's auditioning for a parastatal appointment. And that's the thing. People don't trust mainstream media anymore. You can't spend decades cozying up to power, sanitizing police violence, pretending genocide is just conflict, and then expect us to clap when you say we are the voice of the people. Whose people? Which voice? Legacy media loves to pretend it's the gold standard. But the truth is, unless you're a polished elite, a media darling, or someone with the right accent, you're not getting airtime. Ordinary Kenyans, the mama mboga who got her stall demolished, the student who got tear gas at a protest, unless their story fits neatly into the government-friendly script, forget it. And that gap, that silence, is why people stop listening. The credibility is gone. The future doesn't wear a tie. The future doesn't wait for a teleprompter. The future goes live on Instagram, drops a thread on Twitter, and replies with fine context here. The future belongs to those who have integrity and who actually care about things, not those chasing invitations to State House luncheons and political appointments, not those selling us headlines crafted in boardrooms. We need to speak truth to power.
Smoke your California weed with California
honey.
Bus. Yondo, Hand your signal yellow. If you caught it, nice. If you didn't, maybe you're still waiting for the official statement. We've said it before, and we'll say it again. The old guard was never here to save you. They can't. But also now, they can't stop you. They can pull the plug, shut down the internet, arrest a few people to scare the rest of us, but the story will still get out there. Because kuna kazini yako ata post, neighbor ataenda live, na tutapatana na mafua duko, what's up? So, read the headlines with a side eye, share the receipts, support the truth tellers even if their studio is just their phone. I've been your host, Lorizi F, and the F is for... Relax and
take it easy. Hey, O-M-E-N-E-S. Hey, you're listening to the podcast. Friend? Omenad's podcast.
The revolution about to be televised. You picked the right time, but the wrong guy.